Everyone wish desperately to be able to see you all and to be with you all. Long for the day again when we can all be together again. I do love, though, seeing on Facebook, you know, I'm not a Facebook user, but seeing on the screen here all your names as they come up. As you log on, I'm just sit there and pray for each and every one of you. And what joy it is just to see your names pop up. And I love the comments that you all make to one another, greeting each other in the name of the Lord, saying amen. Last week we were all declaring He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that's just glorious. Another small way to try to help connecting together in this time when we physically cannot be together. So miss you all so much and ask the Lord's blessing on each and every one of you. As we turn to the Lord in His Word in 1 John, let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You have given us Your Word, that You would make Yourself known to us. We thank You, Father God, for Jesus, for dying on the cross in our place, rising again from the dead, O Lord God, that we too can live eternally in You by Your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. O Lord, we want to know You. We want to be with You, especially in this time of isolation, Lord, this time of uncertainty. We want to be with You and know You. So, Lord, we pray in a special way You would be present with each and every one of us now. That You would join our hearts, our minds, our souls together, and join us with other sisters and brothers around the world who worship You this morning, Lord. Father, we love You. Father, we need You. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. And we pray together as You taught us, Lord Jesus, saying, Our Father, we art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles at home to the book of 1 John. This morning we begin the final chapter, chapter 5. We'll return to 1 John after our break throughout Holy Week. Though the message is so compatible with the message of Easter, that Jesus Christ has died and Jesus Christ has risen again, that Jesus Christ is God and Jesus Christ took on human flesh, both man and God. He went to the cross and died a horrific death for us as payment, as atonement for our sins, that all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. John has been writing in this first letter that God is light. That there is truth about God and who He is. And that God is love. And that it impacts, who He is impacts the way that we then live. He's been writing to us, as he'll say explicitly in verse 13 of chapter 5, next week, or maybe 2 weeks, that he's writing this letter so that we would know that we have eternal life. He wants us to have assurances. Because our eternal life isn't just based upon a feeling. It's not based upon an emotion. It's not lacking of emotion. But it's not solely based on emotion. It's not solely based on checking off a list of things that we do or don't do. It's knowing the Lord, believing who Jesus is, and following Him. And he's going to come back to that again this morning. In our passage this morning, he's going to be addressing our faith. Now, it's the first time that John uses the word faith here as a noun. He uses it in some of his other writings, particularly his gospel, as a verb. But he's going to speak of our faith. And he's bringing together these two truths he's been writing about. God is light, God is love. And our faith is what we believe. And what we believe in who Jesus is. Where we put our hope. Where we put our trust. It's also then always accompanied by how we live, based on that God is love. And so he's going to cover three aspects of our faith in our passage this morning. So would you please follow along as I read from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is God's Word. Our faith, looking at various aspects of it in this passage here, and I believe there are three ways that he looks at it. Three different aspects of it. First, he looks at love. Love. This is a common theme throughout all of John's writings. Love. Love for God. Love for one another. And he covers that again. He again is going to start this section, the very beginning, the very first half of verse 1, with his purpose here. He wants to give us assurances of our salvation and describe what it's like. Beginning of verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So there's the statement of our faith. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, is the Savior, is the Messiah, is the one who was promised by God all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and all the way throughout the Old Testament on into the New Testament, that Jesus is the one who saves us. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot be holy in and of ourselves. In fact, the Scriptures say that no one even seeks God, not one. Romans chapter 3. We don't even seek God because of our sinful hearts and nature. So it is the Spirit of God in His love and grace and mercy to us who calls us, who pulls us towards Himself. So that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. But now he's going to link that together with, again, what he's been talking about throughout most of his letter. Love for God always accompanies love for one another. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, meaning is born of God, loves the Father, is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, whoever, has been born of Him. So to love God, we also love whoever else is born of Him. We cannot love God, as John writes earlier, and say that we hate our brothers and sisters. We cannot respond to our brothers and sisters with anything other than loving kindness and care for one another. Why? Because we love the Father. Because of our love for Jesus Christ, we want to be like them. We want to follow in His ways. And God loves us, and God loves our sisters and brothers, so we too love them. We are to be one big loving family of God. Yes, I know family is dysfunctional. It always is going to be. There's always problems in families. And we'll have that too in our family of faith. But by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit working within us, let us grow in love for one another. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves whoever has been born of Him. That we love. That we love. It's one of John's favorite themes, both in his gospel and in this letter here. It's one that we can't overlook as we read through the Scriptures. Our call that to believe in Jesus Christ changes us. It's not something we have to stir up within ourselves or work within ourselves. It's by the grace of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit that Chris read from. The Spirit of God at work within us. I would just say, if we don't have love for our fellow believers, let us pray. Seek God. Ask God to fill us with His love, that we then would love one another. Our faith, believing, is connected here with love. Okay? Believing, yes, it is an assent to the truths of the Scriptures. It's not less than that. It's an assent to the truth. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ took on humanity. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Jesus Christ died on the cross on our behalf. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. The truths of the faith, and we believe them. But belief also drives within us love. Belief, our faith, and love. Secondly, John connects now our faith, not only with love, but another aspect of our faith is obedience. Obedience. In verse 3, he declares, "For this is the love of God." All right, here it is. He's going to describe it. After the comma is going to come what the love of God is. One of his many times he's describing this and describes it in many ways throughout the Scripture. But in verse 3 here, John says, "For this is the love of God." Ready? Here it comes. "That we keep His commandments." This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now, first, let us remember, it does not say, if we keep His commandments, then God loves us. It does not say that. It says that in God's love and experiencing God's love and having love towards God and receiving God's love through believing, verse 1 and 2, believing in Jesus Christ, having received God's love, what happens now? What changes within us? We obey His commandments. Again, that desire to follow what He says. Not because we're slaves, because we're free. Not because it earns us salvation, but because by God's grace, we have been saved. filling us with a desire to now obey Him. And the end of verse 3 is so important. The word obey, it feels awful, doesn't it? It just feels like it has this such a negative connotation and an oppressive connotation to it. That we're somehow being abused, somehow being held down if we are forced to obey. We want to rebel against that. We want to push against that. But the end of verse 3 begins to help us remember that with God, all things are different. That His kingdom is an upside down kingdom. That what we expect in the kingdom of the world is not the truth of the kingdom of God. The end of verse 3 declares, "And His commandments are not burdensome." He gives His commandments to us not as punishment, not as a way to hold us back from fulfilling all that we are created by Him to be, not a way to rob joy, just the opposite. He gives us His commands because He loves us. Because He desires the best for us. A perfect, loving parent. As parents, we try to set rules for our children that will protect them and bless them long term. But we are fallible and we make mistakes all the time, but not our Heavenly Father. His commandments are beautiful. And He has given them to us out of His love. And we, in receiving His love, obey His commandments. We follow Him. And He's speaking of all the commandments, but again, John focuses and grabs our attention to one particular commandment, and that's to love one another. He continues to have us focus in on that as a way of fulfilling all the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Summing up the commandments of God. Our faith, we believe, it connects with love. When we believe, it brings about obedience. And now the third aspect of our faith that John is going to cover is something that he hasn't covered yet in this letter so far. And that is our victory. Our victory. He writes in verses 4 and 5, "Everyone who has been born of God," pause, so remember, we're born of God when we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And when that brings forth love from us and obeying His commandments, all linking them together now. Our belief, our faith, connecting with love and obedience. So He's reminding us of those again. Let's repeat verse 4. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith." Our faith. Now, when John is speaking of the world here, he is speaking of all influence apart from God around us. It's really the sinful world of which we are part. We are all part of. He's referring to the ways that are not of God's ways. And so to overcome the world is not to destroy it, is not to reject the world and not to run away from the world and build high walls around us so that we keep the world out. It's so hard right now because we're instructed that we can't physically get to one another. But overcoming the world means having victory over the ways of the world that are against God. Having victory over the pull and the temptation to sin. Having victory over rejecting God and loving everything that is not of God. Who is the one who overcomes the world? The one who's been born again. The one who has been born of God by God's grace through faith that leads to love. In doing so, we have victory over the dark forces of this present age, of all ages. We are not able to stand on our own. We've heard it said that Christianity is a crutch. Okay. Call it whatever you want. That's fine. I need a crutch. I need help. I need help to stand in this world that pulls me away from my Creator who loves me. And that help is found in Jesus Christ, our Savior. The one who believes has victory. And that victory leads to eternal life in heaven with no sin, with no pain, with no suffering, with no isolation, with no death, no sorrow. Eternal life with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, together as the family of God for all eternity, overcoming the world through faith in Jesus Christ. John writes here in this passage of our faith that the aspects of our faith are love, obedience, and victory. John writes in his gospel, in chapter 17, verse 3, he describes what that victory is. He again is going to pull these same concepts together. Our victory isn't just being financially successful in this world. It's not just being powerful. Quite often it's the opposite. Our victory is eternal life. And the way of eternal life is not by being good. It's by believing in Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life. See how John writes? See, it's the same writing style in his gospel as it is in his letter. He says, this is what it is, comma, and then gives you the answer. This is eternal life, comma, that they may know you. This is Jesus praying. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. To know Jesus, to know God, is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. To love our neighbor as ourselves. To obey the call of God and therefore have the first taste of our eternal victory. These are the aspects of our faith that John writes about. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you first loved us. Unspeakable love, Lord. Unimaginable love. When we, O Lord God, were indifferent towards you or outright in rebellion against you, O Lord God. In your love, you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And you have promised to never leave us. To never forsake us. Your word is true. Above our feelings, your word is true, O Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would help us to believe that Jesus is the Christ. That you, by your Holy Spirit, would work in us to experience your love and therefore love one another. That you, O Lord God, by your Spirit, would enable us to obey all your commands. And that we would experience your victory because of our faith in Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.